Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the only thing we can give you is thanksgiving. You gave us everything else. He that praises me glorifies me. And to that other is conversation alive without you the salvation of God. So that we worship you, Lord, that inhabits eternity. But you have time for us, O Lord, to even inhabit our praises. Lord, we give you praise and glory. Thank you for so much loving us. We are the flesh of your flesh and the bone of your bone. Lord, help us to walk in the light of whom we are in Christ. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us the light of life, and we are the seed. And help us to let that light shine everywhere we go. That let me see this light and glorify not us, but our Father who gave us the light. We worship and adore you this morning, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures say, you know, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Bible says, so this morning as we read it, Lord, oh God, let it be what you say it is, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, in the Bible, you know, God directly changed some people's name himself. And God changed people's name in the Bible. The first one we have in the Bible is Abraham to Abraham. And I'm taking this one by the grace of God to somewhere. And that is in Genesis 17:5. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Then the same chapter in the 15th verse, God now told Abraham, I'm going to change your wife's name too. And then he said, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, that is S-A-R-A-I, Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, that S-A-R-A-A, shall her name be. Then we come to another one called Jacob, and the Bible says his name was changed to Israel. That is in Genesis 32, the 28th verse. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Now in the New Testament, the Lord, when he came in the incarnation, when he came and so forth, and came to redeem us, he turned one called Simon, turned into Peter, or Cephas, that is the same thing. That is in John 1:40. One of the two. So we are I'm reading John 1. So when he came, they say one of the two which had John, that John the Baptist, right? Speak. John has spoken and said, behold the Lamb of God that washed away the sins of the world and so forth. So one of those who had him, John, spake, and then followed, was a disciple of John, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and says unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So the Lord changed his name right there, gave him another name and so forth. And of course, in Matthew 16:18, when the Lord has had the disciples, whom they all say, I am, and so on. Some say you are some of the prophets, some say you are Elias, and so on. Ask them, whom do you say, I, the son of, no man is? Then Peter answered there and said, thou art the Christ, the son of the living God, And then, so and the Lord said that flesh blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father is in heaven. Then in Matthew, in 16 verse 18 of that chapter, I say unto thee, talking to Peter now, sorry, to Simon, that thou art Peter. So from Simon to Peter, right? And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So both Cephas and Peter are the same thing, because Cephas means, Cephas is in Aramaic form of that name, and they both, it means a stone, right? And even Peter is the Greek form of the same thing, Petros, So, and they mean the same thing, they move stone and rock and so on, Where we all know by now, that God wasn't able to build up, he sought upon Peter, praise the Lord. It's on the revelation that, that God has revealed to, upon the revelation of whom Jesus is. That's why he's leading the church upon, praise the Lord. Not, as the Catholic Church is saying, not that way. It's on the revelation of whom Jesus is that is building up, his church, the Son of the living God. Now, so getting on here this morning. So Jacob was no more Jacob, right? But Israel, for as a prince, he had power with God and with man, and had prevailed. So this morning, by the grace of God, I want to speak about the believer's power with God through prayer. That is the subject this morning, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know why I read the change of names, right? So the believer's power with God through prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave us power. You know that? And like Jacob, that's why I read Jacob, right? And like Jacob, he will give us a new name when the battle is over. Amen? Praise the Lord. How Jacob wrestled all night with that, with the angel of the Lord and everything like that, At the end of the wrestling, what happened, the Bible says he has power with God, right? And he got a new name, praise the Lord. So in this journey, he has already given us power. And then, when the battle is over, I'm going to get a new name. I'll get you a scripture here. In Revelation 2:17, when the battle is over, right, the overcomer, Revelation 2:17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and we give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. Praise the Lord. So that's the journey that we are running right now, and he gave us power. Talking about that this morning a lot and so on, but in the end, the overcomer, you are going to have a new name. Nobody will know about it, only you in the white stone. So the greatest privilege God gives to you and I as a children of God is freedom to approach him at any time, in any place. Talking about the power of God, power with God, through prayer. Don't forget, it was when Jacob wrestled with God in prayer and so on, that the Bible says he was giving power and some of that, and then a new name and so on. So anyway, so we have amazing power with our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things, we have great freedom, to approach him at any time. We are not only authorized to speak to him, we are invited. We are not only even permitted, we are expected to do so. God waits for you and I to communicate with him. We have instant direct access to God. Ephesians 3:12 tells us that. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the face of him. Praise the Lord. You can't go to, you can't go and see President Trump. How do you get there? You see what I'm saying? All kind of protocols and so forth. But to the living God, our Father and so forth, we don't need any of those protocols. Praise the Lord. We have direct access any place, anywhere, at any time. Blessed be his holy name. Now, let us see some of the many elements of the amazing power the Lord has given us through prayer. You know, maybe this morning to spice up our prayer life. Eh? Praise the Lord. Spicing up our prayer life. That's what it's supposed to do and so on. So the power with God through prayer. You can't even finish them. Just, I say some of them, right? So anyway, number one, the power to contact heaven's throne room belongs to you and I. Now, remember in Zechariah, when Zechariah questioned the possibility of himself and Elizabeth, his wife, of having a child at their old age, when he did that, the angel Gabriel, rebuked him. That is in Luke 1:19. The angel answering said unto him, meaning to John the Baptist, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. So why do I even mention that? Because your position and my position, through prayer, we have as much access to the presence, to the Lord's presence as any angel or archangel. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why I'm saying that. Through prayer, you and I will have as much privilege and so forth, to access, the presence of the living God. Because the angel say, I'm Gabriel. In the presence of God, you and I have access and boldness and access to God's presence through prayer and so forth. Talking about the power of God, through prayer and so on. We need not wait for an invitation, for the invitation is already given. Amen. Already given an invitation. Praise the Lord. We need not even make a prior arrangement or appointment, for we are already authorized. In Hebrews 4:16, we are to come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Praise the Lord. Any need you have, you are to come boldly. Oh, angel Gabriel, not only you can come before the presence of God, amen. Praise the Lord. Even with the sons and daughters of God, we have the same privilege through prayer. Boldly, that's the way we come to him right now. One of these days, we will see him face to face. We will see him as he is, amen. Praise the Lord. Right now, in this that we are now, even him, though we see him not, we love. Praise the Lord. And though we don't even see right now, we believe him, amen. And rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord. But the day is coming, we are looking for him any day now. When we shall appear, we shall be like him, as you are going to see him as he is. Praise the Lord. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That is the era we are living in right now. That is the greatest event to come right now in this age. In prayer, we come to God as his children. We need not wait for an angel to introduce us. Not really, we don't need it. We need not try to make even ourselves more acceptable, because we are told in Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are already accepted. So we can just come boldly anywhere, any place, no matter where you are, after all, he's omnipresent. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And even more than that, he dwelleth in you. Praise the Lord. By the Holy Ghost and so on, So just to pass our prayer life, we are living in the most important time in the history of the world. Praise the Lord. And we cannot overemphasize, the value of prayer and the power you get from the Lord, through prayer and so on. So we see that right here. Now, we need not to prepare specially and so on like that, what we want to say. We come just as we are, amen. Come to him just as you are, open our hearts and telling him how we feel and what we desire. And there is no one prayer posture that is more sacred than the other. I can stand up, I can lay down on my face, I can sit down, we have liberty. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. You know, so people may call that kind of forms of things and something like that, you know, about prayer and so on. We are God's children, and He is eager and willing to see us. If these things will make prayer a delight, amen, and not a show. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so we see that one there. Let's begin to see some of this power, you know, that you know, we have through prayer from the Lord and so forth. There are many of them. I just want to speak about a few of them. The power to cooperate with God. Yes, power to cooperate with God. God has chosen to accomplish many of His sovereign purposes with us as His co-laborers. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Every form of obedience to God is urgent. Actually, every form of obedience to God is urgent. But there are many situations in which you and I are limited. You know, for example, not be at the place where there is a need, or maybe we lack some skills or special skills, you know, or training rather, you know. But we can always work with God through prayer, amen? Always, all the time. There's no limit to that one. You can always work with God through prayer. Through prayer, we can cooperate with the Lord in any place, at any time, and for any kind of need. We are created to pray. We were saved by God's grace to enter into a ministry of prayer. And we have the liberty, the right, and the position of official children of God, called to work with God, chosen for this specific purpose. Again, this morning, I mean, just to spice up our prayer life because of the condition of the world today and the time and the era we are living in. Furthermore, God said to Israel, who is called the church in the wilderness in Acts 7:38, that is, no, you don't have to go there, but it's called the church in the wilderness. That's what that means for the people of Israel, right? And by extension, to the church of the New Testament, Exodus 19:5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the heart is mine. See? And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. We are talking about the power with God through prayer, right? Kingdom of priests. Then Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, verse 6, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Now, the Lord said in Revelation 1, 6, you know, I told you, it begins with Israel, then extend it to the church, you and I today, the body of Christ. And so then the Lord said in Revelation, after the resurrection and so forth, Revelation 1, 6, and has made us, meaning the children of God, as kings and priests unto God. And his Father, to him, the Bible says, the glory, and we say the same thing too, dominion forever and ever. The Bible says, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that at the matter of two or three witnesses, that the Bible is not just talking one thing. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, you and I, God's children everywhere, as lifeless stones, built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, this wonderful thing that the Bible says we are in the Bible is worthy of always reading all the time. Then we walk according to who we really are and so forth. Not the world, not what the world thinks that we are, you know, and something like that, you know. Why did the Lord Jesus make us to be priests? Are all Christians called a royal priesthood? Why? You know what priests do? Something like that, you know. Obviously, part of God's purpose is designating us, his children, priests. I mean, why he did that is that part of it is that we are to worship and praise him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. To worship and praise him, power with God through prayer, right? Now, but it includes far more than that. We are to be royal priests, he said, of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is written in Hebrews 7:25. And wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, since he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So we are to share this intercession for others, even as Christ constantly intercedes for them. We have been given the official access to heaven, heaven's throne, really, like I've been saying, so that we may join our intercession with that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Talking about prayer this morning, because of the age we are living in, we know we all pray, but we want to spice it up, because I mean the days are evil. Praise the Lord. We are in the perilous times now, you know, and we don't want to be sloppy in our prayer life and something like that, you know. So if Christ, some people will ask, if Christ intercedes, some may ask us, why is our own intercession necessary? Or what could this our own petty prayer possibly add to his powerful intercession? So we ask that question. Well, the simple answer is this, that God has been pleased to build into his eternal plan that we his children join with Christ in his intercessory role and rule. Praise the Lord. It was in his eternal plan to do that. Praise the Lord. He called the end for the beginning. He knows what he's going to do. So that's why in everything he does, and so that, you know, involve us with it and so on. So if we are not using our, you know, spare minutes or time in the ministry of intercession for others and for God's work, we are failing God in the special calling to which he has called you and I. Amen? Do you hear where he said that he ever lived to make intercession? Praise the Lord. Every hour you live in this world and so forth, there are things to pray for. Global intercession. Praise the Lord. Let us get engaged. If you're already in it, I mean spice it up this morning. Praise the Lord. For the time is short. The Bible says 1 Corinthians 7:29. We know that time is short, you know. He that buys, or he that is married, as if it's not married, right? And he that you know that purchases, as if you don't even have it and so like that, you know. So we have to spice up our praying time and so on, and you're able to get power with God as you are faithful in this ministry and so on, of intercession and praying. So anyway, if we will, we can be alert to share God's heartbeat for a broken world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, if we are willing. And prayer is the supreme way to be workers together with God. Blessed be his holy name. Number two, the power to resist and defeat Satan. See, the power, we have that power. I'm talking about the power with God, right? We had the power from the Lord Jesus Christ to resist and to defeat Satan. In 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. You see, we are at the end of the age. Be sober, be vigilant. See, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us, and it tells us much what to do and so on. Satan is the arch enemy of God and man. He is the master strategist behind all the evil that is in the world. Satan is. He introduced sin and evil into the world anyway. And his kingdom consists of fallen angels, demons and so on, all kind of hierarchies, and sinners too, you know. He is constantly seeking to discourage you and I, to delay and defeat Christ workers and Christ's work. He's always doing that. Looking at how we do that all the time and so on. The reason we have to keep our, to be alert, you know, and to be sober. He is determined to oppose in every way he can. He seeks to destroy people, destroy homes, families, and so on. That, you know, nation. This is why you have to be interceding, right? You know, to destroy homes, destroy nations, and the plan and the work of God. Of this, of course, the Lord told us already in John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. That is the plan for you and I. Don't sell yourself short now. You know, don't shy away from the purposes of God. Reach on out. Praise the Lord. And get whatever it is that the Lord has promised us in this Bible and so forth. But the other one, the devil and so on, destroy families, destroy nations and so on, that, you know. Satan coordinates a host of unclean spirits called demons and so forth. They seem to have power to afflict people when they, you know, when they inhabit them or indwell them. Satan at times seems able to exert some control over forces of nation and to counterfeit the work of God by demonic miracles, such as when our Bible told us that when James and Jambres, they called themselves, withstood James, Moses in Egypt, right? So he seeks to do that, counterfeit God's work and so on and that, you know. And even at the end of the age, you know, we are told that in 2 Thessalonians, about chapter 2 to 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, meaning the Antichrist, right there, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So you see, you can work counterfeit, you know, how you call pre-natural, miracles and so on like that, you know. You can do that kind of thing and so on like that, you know. It's sneaky and so on. In the garden, Bible says it was the most subtle, you know, in the garden and so on, when he appeared in that piece in there. How then could you and I, people will be asking, maybe we know the answer here. How then could no people, God's children, possibly, you know, defeat or resist the devil? How can they defeat him? Well, the truth is this. The Lord Jesus Christ already defeated him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is a defeated foe. He may appear that he's powerful. The power he has is the power of deception. Try to hack up from God's children who you are. Try to not let us understand who we are in Christ, or try to block us to know who we are in Christ. Bible says at the end of the age, right now, he deceived the whole world. You see? He's a deceiver and so on, that, you know. Anyway, so he's already defeated. Colossians 2:15. And Christ, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in him. That's one scripture showing that how Christ has defeated Satan, really. You know, that's one of the scriptures, that, you know. Then in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, meaning Christ, also himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So the Lord already defeated the devil and so on, that, you know. He did it already, the past tense right now. So it is on our behalf, of course, that our Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil on your behalf, on my behalf, and so on. And subsequently gave us the power to restrain and bring Satan and his cohorts under control. Amen? Yeah, you can do it. Has given you that power. Whether we are using it or not, it's a different story. Whether we know about it or not, a different story. The Lord told us in Luke 10:19 what I'm talking about now. Behold, I give unto you power. Talking about power with God and so on like that, you know, through prayer and so. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, no matter what Satan can come up with. inherit in you. The Lord has given you power to overcome it. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, you can only the truth that you know can set you free. Amen. What you don't know can help you. Praise the Lord. That's why we expose these things and we need to tell ourselves who we are in Christ and so forth. You know, over all the power of the enemy, no matter what he comes up with, you're ready by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ given to you, you know, to overcome it and so on that, you know. And the Bible says nothing shall by enemies hurt us as we wash and pray and so on that, you know. In John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have already overcome them. You see, because greater is he, meaning Christ, that is in you, than he, meaning Satan, that is in the world. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, when he was going, he told the disciples, talking about the Holy Ghost, he said, it's with you now, I shall be in you, amen. Praise the Lord. So it's in you as in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory, amen. So let us just, Bible says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, amen. Praise the Lord. All is by faith, but it's in you anyway, as a child of God. And it's greater. So when he tried to traumatize you, tell him, greater is he, the Lord Jesus, in me, that remind him, praise the Lord, whom he is, amen. When you tell him of his future, tell him, even he himself knew that his time is short, right? Revelation 12:12, amen, praise the Lord. He knew that his time is short. Why can't we, God's children, know that time is short? And tell him and remind him that his time is short, and that you have dominion over him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notwithstanding, Satan is still out there to tempt you, to tempt me. We must not yield to his temptations, amen? Praise the Lord. Don't yield to it now. By his own temptation, by the same Satan, at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, the Lord demonstrated to you and I how, you know, we can overcome Satan's temptations. Praise the Lord. All that is written in I'm going to go there in Matthew chapter 4, another epistle, verses 1 to 11. But it's in there, I'm going to go and read from, you know, that. All he said that it is written, amen, praise the Lord, by the word of God. No matter what else you do, you cannot control and restrain Satan only by the word of God, amen, and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Any other time, you are doing just a waste of time. You'll just be mocking you. Praise the Lord. The only language that I understand is the power in the name of the Lord Jesus and the word of God. And of course, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the power he understands, and then he backs off. He has to. It is ordained for him to do that. The Lord urged Peter, talking about temptations, right? I'm talking about prayer, right? The Lord urged Peter to be victorious by washing and praying right in the garden and so on. Matthew 26:1. Wash and pray, he said, that ye enter not into temptation. Better to wash and pray and not get into one than to get into one without struggling with prayer. Amen. Even teach us how to pray. And he put it in there. One of them, he lead us not into temptation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Power with God, you know, to do prayer and so. So, one way to overcome temptation is not to even get to one, right? But it does come. So we must stand firm in our faith, amen. Against temptation, you stand firm. You know, one of those things is to keep your prayer life up, you know, and don't postpone anything, you know. Seek the Lord all the time, you know. So anyway, we are promised, you know, victory in James 4:7. It says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Amen?
Amen.
So that's the Greek word. I mean, the Greek word for that means to stand against him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So how do you overcome temptation? First of all, I mean, you know, pray and so on. That, you know, then receive the devil. God ordained that when you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will flee from you. We must pray just like he told Peter to pray. We must do the same thing. You know, as we read, of course, in Matthew 26:41, this is our most powerful weapon, really. Prayer brings the presence of Christ into manifestation. And Satan and his demons have to fall back, like when the mob came against the Lord that garden of Gethsemane and so on. You know what happened there in John 18:6. As he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You know the story I'm talking about here. So prayer takes hold of the promises of God and erects them like a wall between you and the path of Satan. Amen? Praise the Lord. He does that, you know. Again, this is passing up as prayer life and the powers that you really have. Some of it, now there are too many to number here, you know that you have with God through prayer. Another thing is this. Prayer can bring God's angels rushing to your assistance. Amen? Amen. We are going to go through the Bible on this one because I say prayer can bring God's angels rushing to your assistance, my assistance. I'm talking about the power of God with God through prayer, right? 2 Kings 6:15, you know, the story of Elisha and so on like that, you know. And, you know, when the servant of the man of God, meaning Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the whole city, and so on, you know, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, you know, how shall we do? And the verse 16 says, and he answered, fear not, for they that are and will be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed. Praise the Lord. Elisha prayed. Prayer got done with this kind of thing. He prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and the chariots of fire round about him. So right there, I'm talking about angelic, you know, protection, rushing to us and so on. Even, you may not see them, but they are there anyway. In the case of Daniel, you know about Daniel too, you know. So Daniel chapter 10 verse 13. And you know, Daniel had been praying for 21 days and so on, making intercessions, right? And you know, because there are no stories, I just read the relevant verses, you know, how angels can rush to you, whether you see them or not. 13 verse of Daniel 10. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, that is the angel Gabriel talking right there, you know, withstood me. And 20 days, you know, 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So we see why Daniel was praying and so on long time. And so angels appeared to him, you know, of many, many instances and so on like that. You know, he was praying, you know, and you know what? Another issue of the spiritual world, really, in a way. And not to give up on your prayer. If you are praying according to the will of God, there are forces of the devil that can come against that, but we take your stand. And you maintain your stand and it's consistent. I mean, and we are told in that chapter that though you have been praying for 21 days, the Lord said the very first day you pray, your prayers were heard. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes. You know, and his angels were involved, you know, because of a praying saint of God. You know, so another. In Hebrews 1:14, so don't think it's only Daniel or only Elisha. Praise the Lord. I mean, God is not a respecter of persons. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are the heirs of salvation? So right there, all the angels, all of them, they are ministering spirits to you and I. In another place, they are called into the innumerable company of angels. Praise the Lord. I mean, even talk more down the road and so on. So angels rushing to your assistance, power with God through prayer, right? You know, you saw it, Daniel was praying and so on. Angels attended to him and so on, like that, you know. So Elisha prayed. Now, prayer can overthrow the plans of Satan. Yes, it can. Prayer can battle any combination of Satan's forces. Don't forget the Lord has given you power, right? That's one thing. But you have a part to play too, you know, to through prayer and so on, as I'm going to see now. Yeah, he gives you all the power. You know, it's just all over the Bible. God will give you a promise and so on. He gave you a part to play. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people want to leave all to God. He didn't design it that way. Praise the Lord. We are laborers together with him. Amen. If you remember this one, then you are going to be, you are going to have greater faith and so on. And you know the counsel and the will of God and so on like that, you know. So prayer can overthrow the plan of Satan. And it can battle any combination of Satan's forces against you. Describing our spiritual warfare in the popular and familiar chapter of the Bible, in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Another fact that many Christians forget. They think it's my boss. It could be your boss, but to every physical manifestation that is behind it is spiritual manifestation. Praise the Lord. In most cases, to every physical phenomenon, there are a spiritual one behind it. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just your boss, you know, oh, so and so do this to me. Yeah, it could be there. They are just agency of Satan in many places. Praise the Lord. So but when we are aware, then you can keep your calm, you know. You are not warring against flesh and blood at all. Know that brother over there, you know, at one time, the Lord himself, Peter speaking the wrong word, get ye behind me, Satan, amen? Wasn't Peter, praise the Lord, speaking those awful words? So, not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, and so on, that, you know. Anyway, so, in the previous verse, in verse 11, we are told of our need to take our stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are then given the list of the various aspects of the spiritual armor which you and I must put on in the warfare against Satan. And again, I'm just saying that this scripture here, we just often forget it. We just look into the natural, you know, we forget it, but we are fighting spiritual warfare. Yeah, the quicker we know all the time what we are into and what we are dealing with, the more victorious we will be. Praise the Lord. Yes. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That is God's way. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. I can't just stop talking about that and so on. Does say he gives you power over all the power of the enemy, right? And here also, we can also quench all the spirit that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So no need to be afraid or worry about him and so on. We are given ability and power to quench all the spirit that. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. But when we are thus fully armed, as we are told in the scripture, how do we then fight? Well, the scripture suggests two ways. One, with the sword of the spirit. Number two, which is the word of God, right? And then with prayer, amen? Having power with God through prayer and so on, with prayer. Prayer is a master strategy that God gives for the defeat and routing out of devil out of your way. Praise the Lord. Master, yes. Ephesians 6:18, coming to that, I want to pray always, you see, not sometimes, now, with all prayer, all kind of prayer, and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise the Lord. I mean, spacing our prayer life in this wicked and adulterous and evil age, and so on, you know. Through prayer, the Holy Spirit can so empower you and I that Satan's hold on our lives is broken completely. Satan's hindrances to the kingdom are removed by the Holy Ghost and so on. You let him pray through you and so on, that, you know, removed. And Satan's work destroyed by your prayer. 1 John 3:8, we are reminded that towards the last part of that verse, that the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise the Lord. He did this potentially at Calvary. And Christ enforces Calvary's victory, believe it or not, through prayers of his bride, the church. Amen? That's how it is. He enforces it here through us, his body. Don't always forget, after he went to heaven, the thing the Lord did on this earth is through his church. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He is the head and we are the body. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He is the vine. We are the branches. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So integrated with him, he turned in Ephesians 5. He said we are the flesh of his flesh and the bone of his bones. Amen. Praise the Lord. Walking through the church and so on like that, you know. Anyway, so that is why the people of God are also called the army of God. You see? Scripture, 2 Timothy 2:3. Because I'm saying that he enforces the victory at Calvary even through the body of Christ and so on, you know. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are the army of the living God, amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, a good soldier of Jesus Christ and so on, you know. And verse 4 says that no man that worried entangled himself with the affairs of this life, and that's what many Christians do, right? You know, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. Only answer that. If God's people would only accept their sacred role as the army of God, if all of us will call on one another to God's priority of prayer, see, we make prayer a business, amen, not a casual thing. Praise the Lord. Call one another, you know, I'm just talking to Christians in general, not only here, but in general, and so on, like that, you know. God's priority of prayer. If God's children will join one another in militant, spirit-guided, spirit-anointed intercessions, we could see Satan defeated, and revival visitation descend from heaven. Amen? If we take that unity, that continuous intercession, unity of the body of Christ, because we are waiting for the last refreshing, the greatest revival of all times, you know, for the Lord to return and so on like that, you know. So anyway, we could see the greatest harvest of souls we have ever seen before. Praise the Lord. His promise, but our part is to God's church to come in unity and so on like that, you know. We are called to stop Satan, to drive him back, to defeat him in our life through prayer and fasting. But the church in general, most of the church in general, still prayerless, really, you know. We need more prayers and so on in the body of Christ and so on. Too passive, too content with spiritual mediocrity and comparative spiritual barrenness and just content. I mean, we are praying that God's children, we are going to look ahead, we need to look forward and press forward. Apostle Paul say, not that I already attained, see, praise the Lord. For the high calling of God in Christ. Anyway, power with God through our prayers and so forth, you know, in this age we are living in and so on like that, you know. So we see. So revival can come quickly, as you know, if we God's children, we just, you know, do these things and so on like that, you know. So, and many of the times, you know, so we are called to stop Satan, like I said, drive him back, defeat him in our life through prayer and fasting and so on like that, you know. The church, we are praying like God with the body of Christ will wake up past. And I say, Lord, teach us to pray more than we are praying right now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, lead us to such a prayer warfare that we claim key people in this world, no, whole families for Christ through our intercession and so on like that, you know, and even entire continents we can win for Christ. Amen. To our knees, sir, the Holy Spirit is calling like never before. And to our evangelization of the whole world and so on like that, you know, to our knees more than we ever done before in the history of the world. To our knees, and Christ's triumphs will be manifest more than ever before in the history of the church. Another thing is this, the power to obtain angelic assistance. I mentioned that briefly before. I want to speak a little bit about that. And so I'm talking about the power of God, power with God through prayer, right? I want to talk more about the angelic assistance and so on. We live in an age which is skeptical of the supernatural, actually. You see? Even most Christians, you know, I'm aging. I mean, but many Christians seldom even think of the Bible teaching concerning angels, and yet it's very, very important. Yet the scripture tell us that all the angels, not even some of them, all the angels, already before, I want to say it again, are ministering spirits sent to minister for us, meaning God's children. That's in Hebrews 1:14, right? And are they not all of them ministering spirits, right? So we see right there. So we do not know how they do their work, you know how they serve, but the Bible specifically mentions this. They protect. Here is what we get, you know, power with God, you know, as you pray and so on. They protect from danger. Dangers do. They protected Jacob, like we know before, after, you know, a night of prayer, right? That's in Genesis 32:1. He spent time in prayer. Talking about power through God, I mean, with God through prayer, right? When he has prayed all night, has his name changed, then they protected him, even after that prayer, in Genesis 32:1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, people read about the wrestling and so on. Angels of God met him. A prayerful man, right? Wrestling in prayer and so on, you know. Power with God, you know, through your prayer and so on, that, you know. So, a jealous visitation and so on, that, you know. So, we see that right there. You talk about Elisha before, I won't go over that and so on. The angels deliver God's children, you know. Angels delivered Peter from prison as the church. We're talking about power with God, right? With our prayer. You all know the story of, you know, in Acts chapter 12, that wicked king has killed James, one of the sons of thunder, right? And Peter was next, and he was in prison, right? Ready to be killed after Easter. But what happened? I'm talking with power, with God, through prayer. But the Bible says in Acts 12:5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I don't know what happened there. Angels were sent to deliver Peter out of the prison, all in chapter 12 for the book of Acts and so on. An angel came and assured Paul. Paul on his way to Rome. He has appeared unto Caesar. And we sent to Rome on a ship. Again, well known story in Acts 27, I believe it is, you know. And that's right. And you know, sometimes Satan will make things around you to look so dark. I see there is no way out, you know. On that boat or that ship and so forth, there was a great storm upon the Pacific Mediterranean Ocean over there and so on. And I think for 14 or 15 days, they couldn't even see the sun or star or moon at all. It was so dark. I guess I think Paul was a fasting man anyway, a man of prayer and a fasting man. And maybe some of them were already, the rest were, you know, they were given to a false fasting, some of them. I think they were fasting for 15 days and all that, you know. But I believe Paul was praying, talking about how our prayers can make angels to rush to you and so on like that, you know. And 276 people on board that ship, 276 people and so on. I believe Apostle Paul, through his prayer all that time and so forth, God revealed to him. Acts 27 verse 23. I begin to encourage the people now. He was a praying man. For it, you know, at one point, Bible says it was so terrible. Apostle Paul said that all hope that they would be saved was lost. And since I can paint a picture around you, I see that no hope around in your situation. But if you keep on praying, you know, I mean, God can send angels. Anyway, so at the 23rd verse of 27, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, you know, whose I am, and whom I serve. That is the Lord Himself, right? Because we are not to worship angel, amen. Paul knew not to worship angel. Praise the Lord. So that would be the Lord Himself, you know. Anyway, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that say with thee." I always, when I'm traveling, I remember this verse and so on. I claim the life of all that are traveling with me, amen. Praise the Lord. See, Paul, he was praying all that time. At one time in that chapter, he said that all hope that we should be saved was lost. But he continued in prayer, see the miracle, and truly enough, the boat will be broken, he said, they not told him, but all will be saved. So it happened right there. Now, the angels may bring messages to God's children too, you know. There are many biblical examples of this. Angels brought the message, you know, to the shepherds, for example, at the birth of Christ. They brought messages to the, you know, to the women at Christ's resurrection, and of course to Cornelius in answer to our prayers. You know, that is in Acts 10:1-7. I say, power of God, you know, through prayer and so on. Cornelius wasn't saved at that time. We all know the story, therefore, and so on. I was praying, and I know how the story went and so on. An angel appeared to him, and he said, go and call one more, Simon, Peter, and so on. You know the story. Anyway, angels can renew physical strength. In fact, the strength the Lord Jesus Christ following his ordeal in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22:43. And there appear an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Just to even just give us a, you know, an eye-opening or a remembrance, you know, for those already who are familiar with the scriptures, you know, the ministry of angels is a different subject entirely, but just connected to prayer and so on like that. You know, undoubtedly, the angelic assistance of God's children is usually invisible. They are attending to you. The Bible says they are ministering to you, right? You may not see them. Who knows what could have been happening to me or you if not because God has put angels that are watching over. But we say, we know, you know, the angel of the Lord himself encamp around us. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Even the children, but we say they are angels. Daily behold the Father's face, right? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. So let us. Now, so let me finish up here. Now, another thing is this. Our prayer can move mountains. Amen? Mm-hmm. Talking about the power with God through prayer. That's what I'm talking about this morning. The last thing I want to talk about is power to move mountains. Well, mountains are sometimes used in a symbolic way in the Bible, typifying strength and stability. On the other hand, mountains often symbolize difficulties, problems, and hindrances. Thus, like in the prophecy about John the Baptist, who forerun the first advent of the Lord, we will have to, in this age, our job is to prepare the way of the Lord for his second coming. The crooked must be made straight, and the mountain leveled. Thus, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Let me read the case of John the Baptist quickly in Isaiah 40, verse 3, the prophecy about him coming and things like that, you know. The voice of him that Christ in the wilderness prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, he said, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Verse 5 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, he said. Praise the Lord. That same prophecy and song in Luke 3, I won't go there, the same thing in Luke 3, 4 to 6. So when God's mighty spirit works, mountains immovable in any other way are as nothing before the power of God. Amen. Yeah, when the Holy Ghost move and so in your life, in the life of God's children, I say mountains immovable in any other way are nothing before the power of God. Zechariah 4, 6 says this. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Verse 7 says, who art thou, O great mountain, see, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. The Holy Spirit, who alone can accomplish this feat, can turn the most impossible mountains in your life, in my life, into roads and highways for rapid advance. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the Holy, not by you and me, but the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in you and so on. Of ourselves, we can do nothing really. You see? I see power with God, right? So, Isaiah 49, verse 11 says this. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted, he says. The Lord Jesus used this Old Testament illustration in several of his teachings. For example, when his disciples have failed to cast out a demon from an afflicted boy in Matthew 17, the Lord said this, 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, I mean, they were asking him why they couldn't cast out the devil and so on, that you know, because of your unbelief, he said, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall not only say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I always like that when I hear the Lord say, nothing shall be impossible. Well, unto you, me and you, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Talking about power with God, right? To do prayer. But now, so let's see what he says for that. He didn't stop there. You know, he didn't stop there. And so this mountain is symbolic of any insurmountable situation in your life or in my life, you know, not only demons. Then the Lord immediately added that this kind of dramatic display will be the result of prayer and fasting. You know, praise the Lord. See, I mean, power with God, you know, through prayer and so can move any kind of a mountain. The Lord says so, you know. So, Matthew 17:21, how be it? This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Again, another instance when the disciples were amazed at the Lord's power to wither the fruitless fig tree, you know, and you know, in Matthew 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Praise the Lord. Now look at the following verse here. All things Whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing. You see, talking about power with God through prayer, right? See that what I'm talking about here? And spicing our prayer life, you know, and all things. Whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. So, well, and the same is recorded in Mark 11:24, as I'm closing up here right now. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Power with God through prayer. You see, and that's what I'm talking about now. Oh no. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye ask and ye desire, right? When ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He didn't say when you see them, when you pray. You know, the Lord here. I always think about this. Bible says in Matthew 18, what things ever you bind on heart shall be bound in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. You say that in Matthew 18 and so on. Now, God expects his children to face mountains of difficulties and to remove them. Amen. That's right. You know there'll be mountains, and he expects us to move that mountain. He does not intend for you and he doesn't intend for us to be stopped by these mountains, many difficulties, right? In our own case and so on. Doesn't want to do that, what he wants us to do. But rather, to accept them as a challenge and either turn those mountains into highways for God's greater glory or else cast them, you know, into the sea, so to say, completely remove them. As they had never existed before. That is, say we can do it as we pray, power to move mountains is with you. You know, power with God to move mountains. The Lord Jesus assures you and I that this is fully possible when his children confront the mountains, the difficulties, believing, you know, and trusting the Lord and so forth, you know, and praying and so on. He told us that it should be done, like we just read now. So the Holy Spirit will do the miracle. It will not be by our own might or power. That's another way how we feel that God's children try to do it by ourselves. No, it's through him. So anyway, this morning, just a short exhortation, although it takes some time, to spice our prayer life and so on like that, you know, so that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and prayer and so on, consistent and so on, we can move any kind of a mountain. So when the battle is over, Bible says we have been using the power of God all through it, we will receive a new name. Praise the Lord. Written in stone. So, and don't forget, the greatest event of all time, the coming of the Lord, has the Lord told us in Matthew 21:36, wash ye therefore and pray always. That's the last scripture here. Wash ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah. When the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown. I say, when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are our great example, Lord. In everything you do, you begin with prayer and you end everything with prayer. Many of the time, on the Mount of Olives, you are alone there praying, our great example. And we just mentioned very few of the, you know, many, many things, the power that we have with God, you know, through our prayers. So just to spice our prayer like this morning, to be encouraged now, to press on, you know, pray always, as what the Bible says. So as we go this morning, help us so that to put this in remembrance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer life improved that we can move any kind of a mountain through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord. We are not at the mercy of the devil. No, we are not the victims. We are victors. That will say, in all these things that you confront us, we are more than conquerors through him that love does. Help us to never to forget. We have the authority and dominion over all the power of the enemy. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and we worship you. Glory be to God in the highest. We pray our prayer corporately, Lord, and count us worthy, Lord, you know, to escape all the judgment of these last days. After 2,000 years of preaching the gospel, God is a God of love, not a war. He's a God of justice. But we pray that we'll be able to escape all these things, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in the praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.